Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the third episode of Get a Job. I'm your host, Kathleen Brady, and I am a career life management coach. Now, as those of you who have listened before know, the purpose of our show is to help job seekers navigate the chaos and isolation of looking for a job. So it doesn't matter what stage of your career you're at, if you're looking for your first job, maybe you're doing a mid-career change, doesn't matter. We are here to help you by sharing some best practices, offer you some advice and tips and suggestions, and to take your calls to answer your specific questions. The number to call if you have a question is 646-716-9397. And certainly in support in between these shows, there are always good ideas and tips and best practices as well can be found on my Facebook page, which is KB Career Planners. Now, in our first show, we offered an overview of the job search process, just a sort of soup to nuts to give you a lay of the land. In the second show, we focused a lot on how to do some market research, and we had a great guest on talking about the resources available in the public library. If you missed those two shows, please check them out in the archives. You might find them very useful. This week, I'm very excited to talk about the topic that is perhaps near and dearest to my heart when it comes to job hunting, and that's about self-assessment. And so we're going to talk about self-assessment in general and the Highland Ability Battery in particular. It's a fabulous online assessment tool, and we really want to give you some details about that. I have with me tonight two amazing women who are going to help us talk about these things. My first guest is Dr. Dori Stiles, and Dori is an industrial organizational psychologist, and she's worked in organizations and human development for more than 28 years in both academic, public, and private sectors. And Dori owns a coaching and consulting firm called Turning Points. She is also the director of training in research and development with the Highlands Company, and they are the test publisher of the Highlands Ability Battery. So Dori has administered thousands of HABs to her clients, and she also is just well-versed in the research and the validation and all the sort of nitty-gritty things about the test the assessment that we want to talk about. We also have with us Jennifer Queen. And Jennifer is the Chief Recruiting and Development Officer for McKenna, Long & Aldridge, a national law firm. And Jennifer's role at the firm is to oversee all the aspects of the firm's attorney hiring and professional development efforts. They've got 16 offices, over 575 attorneys and professionals. And Jennifer uses a variety of assessment tools in her work. So we thought it would be really interesting to hear from the employer point of view the importance of assessment and the role they play. So Jennifer, first I want to welcome both of you and thank you so much for being with us tonight. But Jennifer, I wanted to start with you and ask you, as an employer, tell us why and how the assessments benefit you from the employer point of view.
Thanks, Kathleen, and I appreciate being asked to be on the show. We started using assessments about 5 years ago, and we used them in a variety of ways. One is the selection and hiring process. The second is training and development, and really tied to that is career planning. So we've used them in all different regards, but what we found is that a self-aware candidate during an interview and a self-aware attorney or employee throughout their tenure at the firm is the best employee to have.
Great. Well, talk to us a little bit about the selection and hiring. So, I mean, are employers using these more? Can people expect to be asked to take a test, as they all call them, that they're worried about failing before they're employed, or when do you introduce it into the process?
Well, I'll tell you that corporate America has been using assessments for many, many years, and they range in, just a basic personality assessment to one-on-one interviews with psychologists to simulations and case studies, so a wide variety. We just use a simple online assessment to give us some insight into a person's motivations, values, and traits, and then we can tailor our questions more the behavioral-based questions, tell me about a time, we tailor those questions to that particular candidate. And what we found is that the candidates really appreciate that we are trying to find the best fit for the candidate and for the firm. So I know it's new in law firms, relatively new, and I know that we were one of the first, again, to implement about 5 years ago, but corporate America has been doing this for many years, and corporate America is based, you know, they are our clients. So we called and we wanted to really better align our process with how our clients conduct their operations.
So I'm curious, you have them take the assessment so that you can ask more pointed questions to pull information out of them. Do you ever use it as saying, oh, that's a bad answer, we're not going to bring this person in?
We do. We actually have a scorecard on how the candidate kind of ranks with the answer to the question. But it is interesting that, you know, again, that this self-awareness, what are my strengths, what are my weaknesses? Because if you're giving the employer information, you ought to be just as aware as the employer as to what those are. And it is interesting when a candidate comes in and even doesn't understand that they're perhaps an extrovert or an introvert, or, you know, they like to work independently or more on a team. So even some basic areas that we'll probe. But we do tailor some of the questions, not all of them, but based on what we see from the assessment, just makes it a more robust and thoughtful interview.
It's always interesting to me because I think job seekers worry about this, and they think, oh, what's the right answer? And they struggle to give you what you want to hear. What I always try to get them to focus on is it really isn't what the employer wants to hear. It's about finding the right match. So if it's not a truthful answer, you can try and game the test and figure out what they want to hear, but you're not going to do well there because it's not what they're looking for.
I completely agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I always sort of equate it with dating. You could tell the person exactly what they want to hear. Oh, yes, I want to get married. I want to have 12 children. And then when it comes time to have those 12 kids and that's not really what you want, the whole thing falls apart. So you really want to be true to who you are. You also said that you use these assessment tools in your role in professional development. How do you see those as being useful, or at what stage do you introduce them? The other two assessments?
We have all different trainings, but one in particular is a leadership academy, and so we use several assessments with our associates going through that leadership academy. And there's some role-playing and simulation exercises. And it's as the associates go through those and they're getting feedback, then we introduce the results of the assessments. And it just all correlates and helps them really get a better sense of what their strengths are, what their limitations are, where they need to improve, and what they need to play upon, if you will. So it is very helpful. And you know, attorneys are smart people. They've typically done well throughout school. The feedback's been positive. And so when they come to the employer and there's additional feedback to be given and some of it is constructive, we want them to be more open to that feedback. And again, the more self-aware you are, it just seems to work a lot better for both sides, both the employer and the attorney.
Great. And Dori, let's get you into the conversation here. And why don't you talk a little bit about the Highlands Ability Battery, because it plays
sure.
to a lot of the things Jennifer's talking about. So what
sure,
can someone expect from this?
So thanks for having me. And Jennifer, I really commend your organization for how they're using these tools, because there really are many uses for these assessments. And the Highlands Ability Battery, it does not fall into the bucket of the selection piece. In fact, the Highlands Ability Battery is targeted information for the actual employee or the applicant. So this would fall into kind of the self-development bucket, which helps a person become, the instrument helps the person become more self-aware. And so as I was listening to you talk, the idea of having an applicant be very self-aware of themselves as being a plus. And in fact, that's exactly what the Highlands Ability Battery can do for a person. It can help them become crystal clear about what their strengths are and what the challenges, you know, that they might face. The assessment itself is pretty intense and lengthy. It's about a 3-hour online assessment, and what we use are what we call work samples. So work samples are performance-based assessments where a person actually has to perform something rather than report on whether or not they think they can perform something. So let me give you a concrete example. One of the 19 assessments shows a series of a piece of paper being folded, and then the last picture is a hole being punched through it, and at the end there's a grid that says when you unfold the piece of paper, where will all the holes be? So the person actually has to be able to mentally make those mental manipulations and provide the correct response. Another example of a work sample is there's a design that's dots and lines, and you study the design for a certain amount of time, and then you go to another screen where only the dots exist, and you have to recreate the design by drawing the lines in. So it's performance-based. I have to actually do that rather than say I think I can or can't do that. So what it results in are some very objective data points that tells the person what is actually coming naturally and easy to them. What the test doesn't do is evaluate somebody's overall performance, because how you perform in any given job is really a combination of both what comes naturally and the things that you've learned how to do, what we refer to as skills. So this assessment is all about separating out abilities from skills and helping a person become self-aware about those things that do come naturally so they can actively participate in the process of creating best fit between themselves and work. Another question?
Well, it's interesting to me because I know it's one of the things that I like so much about the Highlands when I was introduced to it is it is different from some of the self-report kinds of tests, which have great value as well, so I don't mean to diminish them in any way. But when you're asked those questions of would I rather stay home and read a book, or would I rather go to a party, if you've got in your own mind your own identity of how you want the test to come out, people who are fairly sophisticated sometimes try and game the system, and that doesn't really give them the honest information. What I loved about this when I took it myself as someone who's very sophisticated and having used a lot of different tools, I had no idea what each one of these work samples was trying to ask me. So I'm not sure I could have manipulated it even if I wanted to. It really
right.
is about what's coming naturally, and there's no good or bad.
That's exactly right.
Takes all the judgment out of it.
Yes, Kathleen. And what I would add to that is that, like you, I agree that many of the other self-report assessments have a lot of value and are very useful. What I have found is that not as many people have been exposed to an opportunity to actually separate out what comes naturally to them and know what their natural talents are. So, the interesting part about this assessment, as you said, you can't pass it or fail it. There's no good or bad score. The way that we're able to separate out what comes naturally from maybe the skills that you've developed is not only are these objective performance-based work samples, but they're also timed. So what happens is that if you're able to do things more quickly and accurately in a shorter amount of time, that's an indicator that something's coming naturally to that person. If that is not happening for you, it takes you longer, it takes more time, it takes more effort, it takes more energy for you to do that, then, again, it doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means that you've learned how to do it and it's more skill-based, and that's a good piece of information for you to have as you're applying for jobs.
One of the things I've always found entertaining is, as someone who's a certified provider, and I do these a lot with attorneys, and attorneys will get their scores, And as Jennifer said, attorneys, you know, by nature are very bright people, and they're used to getting 98th, 99th percentile. So when they see things in the 30th percentile, it makes them crazy. Well, I thought I did really well. And they focus on trying to be good at things that don't come naturally to them. And when you say to them, it doesn't, again, there's no good or bad. It depends on the game you're playing. When you're playing golf, you want low scores. If you're playing basketball, you want high scores. So they're all instructive. But it's and there's also a tendency for all of us to focus on what we're not good at and think, I have to get better at that, instead of saying, well, what am I good at? What can I get paid to do?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Let me give you one other concrete example of that. One of the assessments on there looks at idea generation. Just how many ideas does your mind just generate over a period of time? What's the flow of ideas? And so when somebody gets a high score on that, then that means that they enjoy things like brainstorming, and they just one idea triggers another, and that's wonderful if you're a creative specialist in an advertising agency. At the other end of the continuum, the strength of somebody who is low on that ability is that their strength is that they can stay focused. So if you take an accounting job, if you take a nurse, I got to tell you, if I have a nurse putting an IV in, I want focus. So, again, no good or bad, it's just knowing where will my talents be best utilized.
Exactly. Now, I know that there are a number of different reports. Maybe you could talk to us a little bit about when's the right time for someone in their career to take this report or take this assessment, and the different ways, the different reports that they can request.
Sure. Well, what I love about this assessment is that the results actually stabilize at a fairly early age. It has to do with brain development. And so scores tend to stabilize around the age 14 or 15. So the way a person applies their abilities or wants to use their abilities differs across their age, you know, the age that they're at anyway. So if I'm a high school student trying to decide whether or not I should go to college, and if so, what kind of college, and that sort of thing, then I'm going to ask for a student report, because the student report is really going to focus on not only what my talents are, but there's a extra emphasis on how I learn, which will influence how I study and the size of classes I might want to be in and so forth. So the information can be applied at a student level in the student report at that, say, 16 to 18 years old in high school, and then in college, I can tell you the trigger points. You know, when a person is getting ready to go to college, they're all worried about what's going to be the best match for me in school. We don't hear from those students again until they're between their sophomore and junior year, when it's time to pick a major, when the rubber hits the road and you have to decide. That's where we see a lot of other college students. And, again, the student report is a really helpful report at that stage. When you get into seniors in college and early graduates on into adults, then we have an adult report. And the application here, when an affiliate is doing your individual debrief with you, will really be about career exploration, or if a person is changing careers, what might be additional options. So while your abilities will stay the same, the application during the feedback will be a little bit different. We currently have two other reports. One is a leader report and one is a lawyer report. And these two reports are different in that they're focused on applying the information for the leadership report. For example, it's how are you going to be perceived as a leader? What are the things about your abilities that can leverage your talents in a leadership position, as well as what are some of the challenges that you're going to face given your particular profile? The lawyer report is also helpful specifically to lawyers. It will help identify, for example, areas of practice that a person is more likely to enjoy and do well in. It can help a lawyer address you know, what type of law they might want to practice. For example, being in a large or small law firm, being a corporate lawyer, being in a government agency, being in a solo practice, that sort of thing. So there's information specific to lawyers in the lawyer report. We have a career supplement that will be finished by the end of the year as well, and that's going to be helpful to people who are trying to make those career selections. So something to look forward to.
Great. Well, just I want to give the number again in case anyone wants to call in with any questions for Dori or Jennifer. The number is 646-716-9397. And Jennifer, before we got online, Jennifer was talking and saying one of the benefits to an assessment like the Highlands is not only do you know what it's like to be you, but you also get some insight into how other people operate in the world. And Jennifer, how do you see this sort of playing itself out in an interview, having that kind of knowledge?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of assessments, and I've taken a lot of them, studied them, but you know, I think that it helps you learn how to read cues. So if there is somebody who is more, I would say, analytical and data-driven versus somebody who's, you know, would make decisions more based on emotion, you're going to answer their questions a little bit differently. So the more kind of emotional, you know, sensing, you know, somebody who you're going to hear say, I feel, I think, I believe, you can elaborate a little bit on that, the answer to that behavioral-based question. For the data-driven, analytical, you know, fact-oriented, they don't really need all of the details. They want you to answer that question in a concise way and then move on. And it would be the same with the questions that you ask of the interviewer. So I think if you're going to ask one interviewer who's more kind of the emotional-based person, you know, how does it feel to work at the firm? What do you like best about the firm? Is a little bit different than what I would ask the analytical person. You know, what types of things are you working on? What would you delegate to an associate? So it's just a way to connect. It's not to change anyone, you know, your natural makeup. But even as you go into the job, you know, when you have a job and you're in the workforce, you really have to learn how to flex your own style and adapt to whoever you're working with. And I think that's key. And I think there are times where people fail because they cannot, they're so rigid, and it's just they think there's one way to do it, and that's just not true in the workplace.
I couldn't agree more, and I share this story of when I first started working at a law school with law faculty, and law faculty are very fact and data driven, and I had to make a presentation in front of the faculty about a very emotional issue, and I was telling one of my buddies on the faculty what I wanted to say in this faculty meeting, and he sat there and he listened. And he let me just sort of say it in my emotional way. And he said, if you go into the faculty meeting like that, you're not going to have any credibility. He said, here's how you want to say it to them. And he was able to help me kind of put that emotional piece into the linear, logical, fact-based that that they wanted to hear. Not about changing who I am, but when you have a message or you're trying to work with people and you need them to do something or you need a particular outcome, it's about adjusting and moving in and out of your comfort zone. So it's about knowing this is who I am. I'm an emotional person. I'm speaking to people who want to deal with data. I have to figure out how to give my emotions in a more factual way. And that's the key not only to interviewing and job hunting, but to long-term career success. I mean, that's really, there it is in a nutshell. Well, now, Dori, just getting back to you for a minute. So now they take this they want to take this three-hour test. How do they do that?
Good question. The Highlands Company has a website that people can go to. It's Highlands, HIGHLANDSCO, short for company.com, and they can read up on the test there. They even have a sample test items that you can see what I was talking about being kind of work samples and performance-based. Somebody who is interested has a couple of options. They can What I would recommend is that they go to the menu that says find an affiliate. And we have affiliates all over the United States and actually internationally at this point. And you click on that little window and it brings you to a screen that you can either go to a state, and even within states it lists cities, and you can read up on different affiliates to find who you might think might be the best for the type of client you are, whether you're the student, whether you're the leader in an organization, a lawyer, and so forth. Each affiliate works independently, and you would contact that affiliate and ask them about, you can read on their own web pages what their packages are for the assessment. And many affiliates package the Highlands Ability Battery with other assessments, like a personal style assessment or an interest inventory. So the pricing is different across different affiliates. Do you want me to talk about pricing for a second?
Sure, that would be great. That would absolutely
be great. Yeah, so usually most of the assessment packages start in the neighborhood of $400, and what that includes is taking the assessment, getting the test, talking to the affiliate, actually taking the three-hour assessment. When you're finished, you will get a comprehensive report, so that price includes the report. And in addition, there's a two-hour individual debrief. So every person talks to a trained, certified affiliate for the interpretation of their results, and that affiliate then customizes it to that client's, you know, focus and need. So I'd say go to that Highlands website, look at the affiliates. I would say that also that many affiliates conduct this business virtually. So for the busy person, or if you find somebody who's in a different state or location, all of this can be handled virtually. If you're a person that really wants to sit down face-to-face with somebody, you can, again, look at that website, see who's in your area, and contact them to make those kinds of arrangements, too.
And one of the things I would say as an affiliate is, you know, any affiliate can interpret the results of the assessment for you, but we do all have our own specialization. So if someone calls me and it is a high school student, I could do it, but I would most likely say, let's find you somebody who deals with high school students, because there may be things very specific or additional kind of add-ons that that person can help you with. So most affiliates, even if we're not the right person, you know, pick one of us and we can help you. If we think somebody else can serve you better, we'll certainly send you along that way. Or call the Highlands Company, because they know sort of all of our expertise and they can give you two or three names and point you in the right direction if need be. But it's a great little community of people. It's also interesting too. You really want to have the conference with someone, because I think a lot of assessment tools, you get the report and you read through it. And I will tell you, as somebody who was trained in understanding the data and all of that, it takes a while, and there's a lot of information there, and if you don't know how to interpret it, you might read something that conflicts with something on the next page. You're like, wait, I don't get that, and it's the totality of it. So you really want somebody who's got an expertise in being able to help you figure out what it all means and what to do with the information.
And Kathleen, if I could add to that, what all of these affiliates understand is that abilities don't work independently of other factors about the person. So we know that you don't want to go job hunting only knowing about your abilities. That's why we think that these other assessments are very useful. We just don't think that as many people know about their natural abilities versus their skills. They've been focused on performance their whole lives, which is a combination of abilities and skills. But all of the affiliates understand the underlying model that we use, which is kind of a whole person approach. And so it's thinking about take your abilities and then add them to what you know about your skills and your interests and your personal style and your family and your values and your goals and your stage of career. And so while we emphasize the abilities information, we really try and help clients integrate it within the bigger picture and take a whole person approach.
Great.
Yeah, and Dori, I was just going to add, you know, when I see people who really do have a solid understanding of what they're good at, what those abilities are, it's another level almost of this of self-confidence in the interview. It's not cockiness, it's not arrogance, but it's just a confidence of this is what I am really good at.
Mm-hmm.
And it shines through in an interview.
So Jennifer, let me ask you this: if somebody says I'm really good at this, do you ever have people that also say to you, "That's not my strength"?
Well,
do they ever say that?
They will say, you know, just even if it's a, you know, kind of working in a team or working independently, they know that teamwork is important. They know what their preference is, but they've learned to adapt, and so we want to know that they've already worked through that versus to somebody who might really like to work independently, you know, with the lights off in their office, you know, the doors closed, they don't come out much, and they serve a critical role, but when that team comes together, it's hard for that person who likes to work independently. But when they recognize that and they give us examples of how they've recognized that and kind of worked through it, and just to know that this is how I have to adapt and flex in the work environment, it's huge.
Great.
And I also, one of the things I have found in working with coaching clients is, who have taken this, there was almost a relief. And I remember one person in particular who had scored very high as an introvert. And in the new job that she had just stepped into, it was a job where she had to go from meeting to meeting to meeting. And she was just overwhelmed by this, and because she was constantly around other people, and she thought, I took the wrong job, this is horrible for me, I can't keep up, and there a lot of beating herself up about, oh, I'm not smart enough to do this job, or whatever was going on in her head. And when we realized it's because she doesn't have not even 30 seconds between meetings for herself, so rather than say quit that job, which she generally liked, we were able to help her figure out, well, try not to schedule the meetings back to back, and there are going to be some days when you can't avoid that. Know that those days are going to be exhausting for you. Doesn't mean you can't keep up, it just means you're going to be tired those days. You have to expend more energy. But when you can have those 10 or 15 minutes between meetings where you can go and sit in your office for a moment, collect your thoughts before moving to the next one, it alleviated a lot of the stress. So it's knowing how to just make those kind of accommodations for yourself that I think are so helpful to people. One of my favorite stories, too. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, that's absolutely true, and that's one of the things that we really emphasize during our debriefs. This is your strength, and on the flip side of it is if you want to, when you need to move out of your natural zone, here are the skills you need to learn to do that. So it makes everything pretty concrete for the client as to, yeah, I'd love to be in my sweet spot all the time, but I can't be. And so when I can't be, here's what I need to do. So, yeah.
Right. It's interesting because another person I worked with who was an attorney working at a big firm in litigation, and her complaint when we first started before she took the Highlands was, oh, I just, nothing ever gets done. I deal with minutia all day long. And we realized one of the work samples is about time frame orientation. There are people who are very good and enjoy short-term projects, beginning, middle, and an end, you know, boom, 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 be able to cross it off their to-do list, and other people who like that long-term sort of, you know, they have a lot of tolerance for action to result. And she was on the short time frame, and working at a big firm in litigation, it's the exact opposite. So once she realized that what was going on, there were enough other things about that job, that role, that she liked, that she could then at least put it in a context for her. Ah, now I get it. Now when I'm annoyed, that's what's annoying me. And again, figuring out strategies. She came in so afraid to take the Highlands because she thought it was going to tell her she shouldn't be a lawyer. And it will never
right.
tell you you shouldn't be anything. What will tell
yeah.
you is here are ways that you're going to have to adjust because this is what's expected in that environment, and that's where you need to make the adjustments. So it's about being able to make conscious choices.
Yes. I would all, you know, the other thing that I have seen very useful in using the Highlands Ability Battery is that while it can help a person when they're first interviewing for jobs and finding that best fit, once they're in a job, that whole piece of interacting with other people and being part of a team and what do we do as a group, Highlands actually does work inside organizations with teams where we have had an entire team take the assessment. The information is still going to each individual. This is a self-development tool. So what a company that has us come in and work with a team believes that by giving information to the individual that they're going to be the people that can best use it. And so you put the team together and they see a team profile without anybody else's, you know, specific results, but it generates some of the most fruitful conversations within that group. And the end result is that people have a much firmer understanding of how to work with each member of the team, what blind spots the team might have if they have a lot of people that solve problems one way and nobody that looks at a problem from another way. They know that as a team they have a blind spot, so they have to take special care to get that input from someplace. So there are wonderful ways of teams of people, or even two partners who are going to work together. They can look at their profiles together and see strengths and blind spots as well as where they complement each other.
It's always interesting because when you do those group workshops, initially you have to jump up and down to remind everybody it's confidential. Only you're going to see your results. Nobody else is going to see them, and really help build the trust there, because I think people are always worried about it and they don't want anybody else to see, and they kind of hold it close. By about 20 minutes into the program, they're sharing their information. Oh, you scored there. This is what I scored, and it's great, as you say, because it gets people talking to each other and really realizing that their differences are actually strengths. When you're building a team, you don't want everybody to be exactly the same, and then
yeah.
learning how to kind of tap into each other. Well,
yes,
here's a question
from
that
Jennifer. Jennifer, how does that work in a law firm?
In terms of the training with the teams or working
yeah.
together?
Yeah.
It is very different. I mean, a lot of lawyers have the same, you know, the analytical ability, but just in terms of the personality and their work preference style, what work environment, it is different. So, you know, some of our assessments with the selection and hiring process do help us understand in terms of culture fit what's going to work best. And it's not the be-all, end-all with that assessment. It's a tool in our toolkit that we use during the interviewing process. But there are times where you would bring in Kathleen to help coach lawyers through a process of how do we work best together as a team. So I'm a complete believer in, you know, the more self-aware everyone is on the team, and they understand how other people work, operate, prefer to work, it makes for the best team possible, eliminating those blind spots.
And one of the experiences I've had in doing this as a group workshop inside of law firms is a lot of questioning about the validity of the test,
mm-hmm.
and what makes this different from just a Glamour magazine kind of test that you might take when you're sitting on the beach one day.
Other than it taking 3 hours?
Absolutely. But yeah, can
so
you talk
I can,
a little
can,
bit about
can,
the validity to the test?
Yeah. Okay. So that's a really good question, and you're right. A lot of people are interested in this. The Heinlein's Ability Battery is a derivative of a test that has been around for more than 80 years. And so we have many, many years of research that shows us that the abilities that we measure are stable, real abilities that have endured the test of time. The genesis of this is actually all the way back to General Electric, where a gentleman there who was an IO psychologist named Johnson O'Connor was given the task of deciding who should stay on the shop floor and who might be better in management. And he started developing abilities tests to help with that decision-making process. And as he did, he developed tests, and then he became so interested in assessing abilities that he left GE and started something called the Johnson O'Connor Research Foundation. That research foundation is still in existence and has 8 locations across the United States. The assessment is still one, though, where you go into a site and you're there for a day or more, physically working with assessors there. So they are manipulative sorts of measures of these same abilities that we have now gone from paper and pencil to electronic versions on, and our research shows us that we're still measuring the same abilities. Within the past 12 months, we've even gone through an additional updating of our reliability studies to make sure that everything is still, all the tests all the work samples are reliably measuring each of the dimensions. And we have a program of research that we have launched and are continuing where we're accumulating construct validation in addition to the other indicators from other firms that also measure ability. So showing validation for each of these work samples comes from multiple places. So one place can come from other people who are measuring the same abilities, which there's evidence there. There's also our own program of research that says when somebody is strong in this ability, what else does it relate to? So that's something that we're very dedicated to, and we're very excited that we've just done all the reliability studies, and they look great. And if anybody's a statistical nerd and wants to contact me about exact data, I can give it to you. Or Kim can at Heinlein's. I feel very confident in using this assessment because of the research that's behind it and its long-term use.
So when the average person gets their results back, is it going to say this, if they get the student report or the adult version, is it going to say to them, you should be a doctor, an engineer, a nurse, or a real estate broker? Are they going to get that kind of level of detail?
So that's a great question, and that's the answer everybody wants, and that is not what we do. In fact, what we're more focused on are what we'll call work roles and responsibilities, because as both Kathleen, you and Jennifer have said, there is more than one way to do a job. So if you say, I want to be a lawyer, there are many, many ways to be a lawyer. So what we're more focused on are generic kinds of responsibilities. For example, analytical problem solving, diagnostic problem solving, brainstorming, learning visual learning versus auditory learning. All of those different dimensions create a pattern of how that person can pursue a job or an occupation or a career when integrated with what their interests are or their values are, which is we feel very strongly you need to do. So We would never recommend a particular profession based on abilities alone. We find it very, very important to take kind of that whole person approach. So what the individual is going to get is really concrete information about, we'll call them work roles, as well as the type of work environment that's going to be a best fit for them. What's the pace of the work? What's the interaction with other people going to be like? You've mentioned time frame. You know, is this going to be sort of a transactional kind of job, or is this going to be something that you have to wait many years for a payoff? So all those things become very, very important in sort of mapping out what are the dimensions of the work that I really need to pay attention to, and then I need to apply that to an area that that I'm interested in. You know, actually, Kathleen, technically, we can get two people with identical profiles. And if somebody says that they're interested in law and a second person says, I'm interested in art, those same dimensions can be found in both of those fields, but the jobs are going to be very different. So we don't recommend specific jobs based on abilities, but we do recommend looking for specific work roles.
It was somewhat of a leading question because I know that's something that people, it's sort of like, I want to lose weight, give me a pill. People don't want to do the extra thinking there. It's really about pulling it all together. And you know, another great example, just in terms of the same job and different abilities, if the outcome of the job, you know, you meet the job criteria and objective, you might both do it differently. And a perfect example in one training I did was with sales folks. And there was one salesperson who was very deductive, very sort of in the moment and kind of good off the cuff, able to brainstorm, did very little prep work before she walked in, and did quite well in sales. There was another woman who also did very well. Actually, she probably did even a little bit better. She put a lot of time and effort in before she walked into the sales meeting, didn't do it off the cuff. She walked through and prepared all the what-if scenarios and, you know, if he says this, I'll say that, and really very deductive in the way that she approached the sales meeting. And it was, and they both did well, but their sales calls looked very different. The interesting thing to me was watching the two of them interact together, because the woman who was so structured realized, I can be maybe a little off the cuff and it'd be okay. You know, I can be in the moment. And the other person thought, you know what, if I do a little more prep, I might actually be that much better. So it really is about borrowing, you know, using your natural talents and then adding the skills that'll supplement them. And and that's the thing. It's about, but as Jennifer said too, it is the confidence that you have. When rather than say, oh, I should be doing it like her, say, this is what I do, this is what I do well, and here's how it can apply here. And you just exude that confidence and that positive energy. Man, you get sort of sucked into positive energy. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm going to throw out this example just to maybe simplify, and I'm not the expert in interpreting the results, but my husband, when he was changing careers or thinking about it, I encouraged him to take the Highlands Ability Battery just because I've known about it. And he worked in a laboratory. He did the analysis under the microscope. You know, he dealt with his fingers, the dexterity, and he was really analyzing. And he wanted to move into a sales role and wondered if that was going to be a good role for him. And as he, you know, as he worked through, you know, with the consultant, in the feedback, you know, he found that sales would be good and it would be terrific because he was selling what he had been analyzing, but that they cautioned him, which was helpful for him to know that kind of more of a, somebody who worked more independently and a little bit more introverted, that he would need downtime to build in that downtime between the meetings, particularly after a two-day conference where he was standing up in a booth, you know, talking about the company, and that this dexterity piece, you know, they encouraged him because he wouldn't get that at all. That would not be something that he would use, but was a natural ability to take up gardening or woodworking, something that he could use with his hands. And I remember that he came home and he was very, I mean, he uses it to this day. you know, if he's a little bit frustrated or, you know, he's like, I'm going to go and work in the yard or I'm going to, you know, or I need to take a break. But it was just, you know, again, it's not, you're not frustrated. You understand why you might be frustrated because you're not using all of your natural abilities. And how do you, you know, how can you do that?
And it's great you develop the tools to re-energize yourself when you're kind of getting like he did. I mean, I think that's fabulous. It's not about trying to be what the employer wants you to be. It's about knowing who you are, what you're good at, and who needs what you have, and making, you know, adapting that way and kind of going into the organization in a way that lends to your strengths. You know, we often talk on Life Coach Radio about, you know, what's your life purpose and how do you contribute, how do you show up every day, and you want to, whatever job you choose, you want to be at a place where you're using the gifts that you've been given and,
right.
And you know, God bless you, get paid for that. That's what we're looking for.
Right, and when I do exit interviews with you know, attorneys who haven't been happy in the practice of law, you just see that, you know, throughout their career at some point it was like putting a square peg in a round hole, and it wasn't what they naturally, it was forced, you know, like every day it was just difficult. And so with the Highlands Ability Battery and even some of those lawyers, I'll say this is a great tool to use when you're really trying to figure it out. When it hasn't worked wherever you've been.
Yeah, so this is an image that I like to get people to try and imagine in their mind's eye. You know, if over on the right-hand side you have an organization and you think about what an organization does, they have a vision and then they have a mission and then they have processes that they put in place, selection and training and all those sorts of things. And the organization has values and goals and all those sorts of things. Organizations get their sort of model together and get all the pieces working together. Now, over on the left-hand side, you have the individual. And individuals typically look at different pieces of themselves at different points in time. At some point, almost everybody's thought about goal setting of some kind. And at some point, everybody's thought about their values or what's important to them. And at some point, everybody's been sort of thought about, well, what am I good at? Whether they completely understand that or not, they've had those thoughts. But rarely has a person looked at all of those pieces together at the same point in time, which is what, again, these affiliates from Highlands, that's the basic model that they're working from. So the idea is that if we can create sort of a whole person approach for the individual and pulling their picture together, the same way an organization puts their picture together, that's what you want to do before you start creating, you know, looking for a job. And if you do this as an individual, the same thing that an organization does, that's how you can find the overlap and good fit. So there's a book that the test publisher has called Don't Waste Your Talent. And in that book, they do integrate information about not only abilities, but skills and values and interests and goals and family and career and all the things that we were talking about to help a person sort of take a whole person approach to getting their image together so that they can find the overlap. So they end up interviewing the employers as much as the employers are interviewing them, because they're just as interested in fit as the employers are. And it's when you can kind of find that overlap, you know, you think of the two sides creating a downward arrow where they're going to meet, and that's your best possible scenario. That's where everybody's happy.
And I'm so glad that you
I think Kathleen has something to say about the book.
Yes, I'm so glad you mentioned the book, Don't Waste Your Talents, 8 Critical Steps to Discovering What You Do Best. The Highlands Company has generously donated 100 copies of this book for our listeners. So if you're interested in getting a copy of this, Don't Waste Your Talent, which really gives you a lot of great detail about the Highlands Ability Battery and all of those other pieces that Dory was just mentioning, if you'd like a copy, please send an email with your name and mailing address to K Brady, at careerplanners.net. Let me say that again. It's kbrady@careerplanners.net. And all I need is your name and your mailing address, and we will get that out to you within the next week or so. It's a great book. It's a great resource. It's one of those ones that you keep on your bookshelf, and you pull it out at different periods of transition for yourself, and it's just to remind you of things. It's really a wonderful thing, and I want to thank the Highlands Company for donating the book to my listeners. I mean, it's very exciting, so I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, the one other thing I wanted to ask, it's a tiny bit off point, but we may have some folks who might be interested in becoming an affiliate. If somebody would like to become an affiliate and be able to administer the Highlands, what would be the best thing for them to do, Dori?
Okay, so you go to the Highlands website, Highlands, HIGHLANDSCO.com. There, over on the left-hand side, there's some information about becoming an affiliate, and the process is that you would complete an application that Kim is the person, you'll see her name all over the website, but Kim Mamola is the person to send an email to at Highlands. She'll send you an application. Once the application is received, then the first step is taking the test, the assessment, and getting your debrief. And if you've already been through it, then you can kind of skip that part. The next part of the becoming an affiliate is going and attending 16 hours of training. We have both two-day on-site trainings, and we also have teletraining classes where we meet for 2 hours twice a week and over 4 weeks, and you get your 16 hours worth of training that way. After you get through that, then you do a couple of sample write-ups, a couple of practice feedbacks, and then you become certified.
And I will tell you, I wanted to make sure I mentioned that because I know that there may be some other coaches online listening to the show. We all listen to each other's shows, and I cannot encourage people more. It is a great tool to have in your toolbox to be able to work with clients where people say, I don't really know what I'm good at. Not only does it help them know what they're good at, but for me as a coach, for me to be able to objectively see that information, it really makes our coaching sessions that much more powerful. If you're so inclined, it's well worth doing, and it's a really useful tool to have. Well, we are coming up to our hour, and I wanted to make sure that I took the time to thank both of you so much for joining the show and sharing your wisdom and insight, and I'm sure I'm going to have you guys back because you were great. Dori, could you tell us if people want to get in touch with you at your company or what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. So I have a website, and it's turningpointsconsulting.com. Just like it sounds, run on word, turningpointsconsulting.com. And you can contact me through that. That's probably the most efficient way. My phone number is listed up on that website as well. I would love to hear from you.
Perfect. And again, if you would like a copy of Don't Waste Your Talent, I already hear my emails going off, so I'm thinking I'm already getting these requests, but just send me an email with your name and mailing address to kbrady@careerplanners.net. Now, before we log off, I just want to remind listeners to don't forget to listen to some of the upcoming shows on Life Coach Radio Network. Tomorrow at noon, we have Walk Your Talk. And on the 14th at 5 p.m., we have one of our Life Coach chats. Great way for listeners to get a little bit of free life coaching with some of the amazing people that we have on our radio broadcasts. Finally, I just wanted to tell people if we are having a contest as well on my Facebook page, to win a free copy of Get a Job, we will just, if you go on and you like us, we will randomly at the end of the month pick somebody who's liked us and send them a free copy of a Get a Job 10 Steps to Career Success. So again, thank you both, Dori. Thank you, Jennifer, for being part of this show, and to
thank
all of
you,
our
Kathleen.
Listeners.
Yeah.
This is great. I appreciate it, and this is Kathleen Brady signing off and saying now it's time, my friends, to go and get a job. Thanks again, everyone. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.